Welcome to Capital Baptist Church and welcome to our current teaching series entitled Unshakable. We're so glad you're here today as we talk about this very, very important topic of doubt. Welcome to Unshakable, standing strong when things go wrong, and specifically standing strong over doubt. Please take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 9. And today we're going to be looking at our key verse for this week, which is also in this passage in verse number 23. But we're actually going to be looking at the verse before and the verse after in our opening reading. And then in the message, we're going to actually look at the whole general passage found here in Mark chapter 9. We're so glad you're with us today for this message. And if you're in the auditorium here, there's a study guide in your program. I'd like to ask you to pull that out. And if you're listening online today, we welcome you to the message. And you can download the study guide and have it as well there at our website, capitalbaptist.org. Well, inside of your study guide here in the auditorium, you will also find the key verse for next week. And so I hope that you'll pull that out. And next week, we're going to be talking about temptation. We're going to talk about standing strong over temptation. And our key verse next week is James 1:12. So please pull this out, set it aside so you'll have it, because the goal is for you to try to memorize it or at least become very familiar with it, okay? So please set that aside and use that card there to help you this week learn James 1, verse 12. But today we're focusing on the idea of doubt and being unshakable when it comes to doubt. And I got to be honest with you, when I first started looking at this list of topics, I regarded doubt in a big way, but not as big as I do today. After really getting into this the last couple weeks and thinking about this and praying over this, you know what? This perhaps is the most important message in the series. Because doubt, when you look at it, the way I've started to understand it better, is it's something that kind of seeps into all the others. I mean, it's kind of that thing that kind of, you know, is part of any of the other, rocks that we have to deal with, the shakings that we have to go through in life. And so I'm really pumped up about this message. I'm very excited about this message and us talking about this very important topic of doubt. Now, you might be sitting here saying, you know what? I doubt. And I just want to right now just say, okay, that's all of us pretty much, okay? I just want you not to sit there and think, well, I'm the only one. No, you're not the only one. Steve Reynolds struggles with doubt. And when you think about doubt, you're in pretty good company with people in the Bible. Let me give you some examples. Jeremiah, a man I greatly respect, and we actually named our son after him. In Jeremiah 12 said this, "Why do the wicked prosper so?" He asked God, "God, why are you letting these evil people prosper?" He's doubting God. He's doubting the situation. Think about that. Rebekah in Genesis 25 says this, "If it be so, why am I this way? Why am I this way?" You ever ask yourself that? Why am I this way? She's struggling with doubt. Elijah in 1 Kings 19 says this, "Lord, take away my life." He's so struggling with doubt that he literally wants to die. He's so struggling with doubt that he's asking the Lord to take away his life. Catch this one, John the Baptist. Luke chapter 7 says this, art thou he that should come, or should we look to another? Now just think about this, the audacity of this. John the Baptist looks Jesus the Messiah in the eye and says, are you the one, or are we supposed to look for another person? Man, that's you're talking about egg on your face. That's egg on your face. Think about that. He doubted. He doubted the very fact that this was the Messiah, Jesus, standing in front of him. Peter, listen, what did he do? He denied the Lord three times. Think about that. What I'm trying to get you to understand today is this is a common struggle that we face in life. And you know what? Here's the reason you're going to continue to battle with doubt. Let me explain it to you. The reason you're going to continue to battle with doubt, you might think I got it down, but then I don't have it down. Well, that's true, and here's the reason. As you go through your Christian life, you got to understand that God is constantly going to test you when it comes to faith. God is going to constantly challenge you when it comes to faith. But here's the deal. For the faith to grow in your life, the tests have got to be more severe all the time. Because it's kind of like weightlifting, okay? Let's say you can lift 50 pounds. Well, it's not long before you got that 50 pounds down. And it's really not a test for you. It's really not hard for you. So what do? You add some more weight, right? 10 pounds or whatever. So now you're trying to lift 60. When you first start out, man, it's kind of rough. I'm not sure I can do this or whatever. But you keep going, don't you? And guess what happens? You develop the muscles, so to speak, to handle the 60 pounds. And guess what happens? You then add another 10, and away you go. Well, that's what the Christian life is like. God wants to develop a strong, strong faith in you. And the reality is the test, okay, I'm going to tell you the truth, the tests are going to be more and more severe because God's wanting to develop you. And as you are developed, your doubt is going to be something you're going to struggle with in your Christian life. So what can we do? Well, today we're going to see here a great example of what we can do to stand strong over doubt. Now, I want to begin by reading Mark chapter 9, 22 through 24. Mark chapter 9, verse 22 through 24 says this, "And as oft as he was thrown, him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Wow, what an incredible passage of scripture. What do we see here? Three things to notice about these verses I just read. Number one, they're a statement of serious concern. It's a statement of serious concern. What do we have here? We have a situation where there's a father who, like any good father, is concerned about his son when he's struggling, okay? And this son is ill, but he's ill because he's possessed by at least one demon, maybe many demons. And so literally his body is just like out of control. It's all over the place because these demons have come into this this son. And this father is concerned about his son. I mean, there's a serious concern. No doubt this father has taken his son to the doctor. I guarantee you. Okay, we don't have it in the passage, but I'm telling you, this father, I guarantee you, he went to see doctors and said, what can you do for my son? Hey, listen, he's going to the disciples. When we're introduced to this passage, the Bible says that Jesus walked up on this crowd of people and they were having this kind of heated discussion. And the reason they were having the discussion was that this father had brought this son to the disciples to be healed or to be, you know, have the demons cast out of his son. And guess what? They weren't able to do it. They weren't able to do it. Man, he's got a problem, okay? He's got a problem. There's a serious, serious concern. Just think about it, parents, whether you're a father or mother. I mean, when your kids are hurting, you're hurting, right? When your kids are hurting, you're hurting. This dad is in pain. This dad is hurting. I mean, he's watching his son thrash about out of control all over the place. Just think about that. Number two, not only is this a serious concern, listen to this, it's a sincere desire. This man is sincere. I mean, he comes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus in verse 22, if you can do anything, if you can do anything. what a statement right there, okay? And Jesus said, really? Okay, this is my interpretation, okay? If I can do anything, I'm not the problem. If you can believe, it can get done. If you can believe, it can get done. And notice he says in verse 24, immediately the father of the child, listen, cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my what? Unbelief. Notice two things there, tears, tears, tears. This is a broken man. This is a crushed father. He is weeping as he's talking to Jesus. He's crying as he's talking with Jesus. And what do you find on the last part of that verse? What is that grammatically? What is that thing called there right at the end of that verse? It's called what? An exclamation mark. An exclamation mark. I mean, he comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, 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 I believe. And he's weeping, he's crying, but Jesus, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief, Jesus. And he's weeping and he's crying. This man's sincere. This man is sincere. And then thirdly, listen, I love this the most. Sheer honesty. Sheer honesty. I mean, he didn't come to Jesus and say, okay, if he says, Jesus says, if you believe. He didn't come back with, oh, Jesus, I got that down perfect. I am the role model of belief. I am a perfect 10 when it comes to belief. I'm sure he wanted to because he wanted his son to be healed. He wanted these demons to be cast out. And I'm sure in his heart he wanted to say whatever Jesus wanted him to say. But he's honest. And we all have to be honest today. We believe, but help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. Don't you have pockets of doubt in your heart? I do. I do. I do. And guess what? I bet you do too. See, here's the deal. This is one of the greatest takeaways of this message today. You don't have to have a perfect 10 for God to do something great in your life. You don't have to have a perfect 10. Matthew 17, 20, he says you got to have a faith as a grain of what? A mustard seed. This man didn't have a perfect 10 faith, but you know what Jesus is going to do? Jesus is going to heal this son. Jesus is going to cast out these demons. So take hope today. You do not have to have a perfect 10 faith for God to do mighty things in your life. Well, what can we do? What can we do? What can we learn here about what to do to stand strong over doubt? This is a perfect case study right here in front of us. I mean, we see it right here, what we can do to stand strong over doubt. Let's look at it. Let's walk through this passage. The first thing you got to do, page 2 of our notes, is you got to hear the word of God. You got to hear the word of God. But listen, a disconnection with the word of God is going to produce doubt in your life. When you get disconnected from God's word, you are going to struggle with doubt. And the more you're disconnected, the more doubt you're going to have in your life. And so this man is doubting. He's going through a hard time. But listen, Jesus starts talking to him. In verse 19, he says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. In verse number 21, Jesus says to the Father, how long has this been happening to him? There's the word of God is going out. Jesus is talking. Jesus is communicating. And guess what? This man, listen to me. This man hears him. In verse 19, Jesus said, bring him to me. And guess what he did in verse 20? They brought him to him. They brought him to him. Jesus said to him, how long has this been happening? He says, from his childhood. From his childhood. Verse number 21. What's going on here? There is a connection going on here with the word of God. This man's doubting, but his doubt is going to grow weaker and his faith is going to grow stronger because he's getting a connection to the word of God. And if you want to have a strong faith, if you want to stand strong over doubt, you've got to follow Luke 11, 28 that says, blessed are those that hear the word of God and what? Keep it. Blessed are they. You want a blessed life? You got to hear the word of God. You got to hear the word of God and you got to what? You got to keep it. That's why Sunday is so important. That's why coming to church is so important. It's so important that we be here every time possible, not in a legalistic sense, but because we need it, okay? We need it. I mean, Sunday, don't ever forget, Monday is not the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. And God designed it such that on the first day of the week, the first act of the week, is that we would not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that we would come together in corporate worship with other believers. And there's a reason for that. God understands as we go through our life, our week life, you know, what happens? Problems happen. You know, heaters blow up, you know, in our lives. You know, things happen. Life's hard. Life's not easy. Life is very difficult. And what happens is our faith gets hit and hit and hit. And guess what? We start to struggle more and more with doubt. And what God wants us to do is he wants us to come and he wants to gather us together and he wants to gather us around the Word of God and he wants the Word of God to be shared so that we can get, listen, reconnected with God. So we can get reconnected with God. So we can make that good, strong connection with the Word of God. It's important to be here on Sundays, but listen, it is just as important, and in many ways, more important for you to make a connection with God every day. Every day. You want to close the doubt gap? I call it the doubt gap. Spend time every day in the Word of God. Spend time every day in the Word of God. Listen, if this is the only spiritual meal you're getting this week, you're going to struggle with doubt. This should be like dessert when you come to church. You should have had a nice full course every single day this week or as many days as possible. This should be like the dessert for you. I'm giving you dessert. You've already been eating all week long. You've already been in the Word of God all week long. Now, how can you make a good connection with the Word? Well, I'm going to tell you what I do, okay? And what I do is I think specks, specks. Now, this is how I've trained my mind to view the Bible. I didn't make this up. There's different variations of this out there. But I have effectively used this for many, many years. In fact, if you ever get bored, you say, I'm bored. Okay, what can I do? Well, you could count the water leaks up here. You could count those or whatever. But let me give you something better to do. Write down specks and listen to me. And you will hear S-P-E-C-S come out in the sermon. So if you get bored, that's what I want you to do, okay? That's what I want you to do. So how can you make a good connection with the Word of God? The S stands for summarize the passage. The first thing you got to do when you're looking at God's Word is summarize the passage. Now, what does this mean? It means pick out the major points and put them in your own words. Guess what I've done for you today? That's exactly what I did for you. I just told you this story. I just told you the story. I told you the major points. I went right through this story with you. I summarized this passage for you. And when you're going through the Bible, take time every few verses. If you have a study Bible with the headings, you can kind of stop in between the headings or whatever. But what you do first and foremost is you kind of summarize to the best of your ability what God is trying to say. P is promises to claim. You look for the promises. There are thousands of promises in the Bible, and the good news is they're given by a God who cannot lie. Now, what you got to do is you got to look for the promises. Are there any promises in this passage? Yes, there are. Our key verse is a promise, right? If you believe, all things are possible to those who believe. What's the promise? All things are possible to those who believe. Now, when you look at a promise, you got to figure out, is it what I call a conditional promise or an unconditional promise? A conditional promise means there's no strings attached. I mean, God says it, doesn't matter what you do, you're totally irrelevant, God's going to do it. Most promises in the Bible are not unconditional. Most are conditional. Is this promise conditional? Thank you. Yes, it is, okay? What is he? Does he just say all things are possible to those that believe? No, he says what? If you believe all things are possible to those that believe. He says, I got a promise for you, but there's a condition here. There's a condition here. And then, listen, E are examples to follow or avoid. There are 2,930 names in the Bible. Nearly 3,000 names. Look at this story. Who do we have in this story? Who are the examples? We got, who's in the story? Okay, think with me. Jesus is in the story, right? Who's in this story? The disciples are in this story. They're in here, okay? Who else is in this story? There's a father, okay? There's a father. We don't know the father's name, nor do we know the son's name, okay? So they're not part of the 2,930, but they are people and they're examples, okay? So they don't always have to have a name, by the way, okay? So in this passage, I got Jesus, I got him, okay? Jesus, I got the disciples, okay? I've got, I'm losing my mind here, okay? Who else do I have here? Okay, I got the father and I got the son. So there are four examples in this passage. As I'm looking at this, I want to look at every one of them. I want to, because listen, I don't believe anybody shows up in the Bible by accident. Do you? I don't believe there's a single person that got in the Bible just by accident. I believe every name, every person in the Bible has relevance to my life. And they're either an example for me to follow or an example for me to avoid. But they're an example. C is commands to obey. I'm looking for commands. Here's a command. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. That's a command. Bring your son to me. Believe. That's a command. What is obedience? Here's my definition. This is the whole sermon right here, okay? Obedience is doing what you're told to do. Doing what you're told to do. When you're told to do it. When you're told to do it. And here's the real kicker right here, okay? With the right heart attitude. Sometimes we do what we're told, and we even do it when we're told, but man, we come kicking and screaming, don't we, okay? Commands to obey. What are the commands? And then listen, S is sins to confess. When I'm all done with that process, I say, okay, God, how does my life compare to your word? And anywhere I fall short, okay, fall, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So I ask myself, Steve, where are you falling short? Because that's sin. That's sin. And what I'm supposed to do at this point is I'm supposed to confess my sin to God. Knowing the ultimate purpose of Bible study is not, listen, is not information, but listen, transformation. You got to understand the reason we're here today is not information. I've said this. I've had people say, you shouldn't say that. I'm going to say it right now. I've gone to thousands and thousands and thousands of church services. I grew up with Three to Thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I never asked my parents one time, are we going to church Sunday morning? I never asked my parents one time, are we going to church Sunday night? I never asked my parents one time, are we going to church Wednesday night? Now, did I sneak around and get out of it? Yes, I did, several times, okay? We brought our family up that way, pretty much, okay? I've had enough of church up to here, okay? I couldn't care less about going to church again, just to go to church. Who could care less about going to church? I care about life change. That's why I'm here, okay? That's why I'm here for God to do something in my life. I want to be different. I want to be better because I came to church today. How about you? The purpose of us being here is transformation. That's why I say it every week. We're going to talk to you about taking small steps to life because we're here to lead you into a growing relationship with Jesus. And let me tell you something, every time you take those steps, you listen, the gap between faith and doubt, listen, it closes because part of standing strong over doubt is hearing the word of God. And some of you are struggling with doubt because you're not in your Bible every day. You don't come to church on a regular basis. And I'm telling you, you neglect the word of God, you're going to be overcome with doubt. It's that simple. So number one, hear the word of God. Number two, believe the word of God. It's one thing to hear the word of God. It's another thing to believe the word of God. We have to believe God's word. We have to believe God's word. And this father comes to Jesus and says, listen, I've gone to the doctors. I've gone to the disciples to get my son fixed, and nothing's worked. If you can do anything, okay? I mean, just this father, I mean, I love being a dad, man. I'm telling you, I love being a father, okay, and a grandfather, okay? I just love this guy here, okay? I just see him. Lord, if you can do anything for my son, if you can do anything for my son. And Jesus responds back and say, if? What do you mean if? You can just imagine Jesus. You're saying to me, if I can do something. Me? I can do it. The question is, if you can believe, if you can believe. And the father responded in verse number 24, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You got to believe the word of God. You got to believe God's word. I love Ephesians 6:16. It says, above all, okay, it's going through and describing what we call the armor of God and all the different pieces of armor. And God qualifies this statement saying the number one piece of equipment, the armor you got to put on, is called the shield of faith. The shield of faith. And the shield of faith is going to help you to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So what is the enemy going to do? The enemy is going to shoot fiery darts at you. And one of the biggest darts he's going to shoot at you is the dart of doubt. He's going to come at you. He's going to say, hey, you know, God's not good. That shouldn't be happening to you. You know, that's not fair. That's not right. I mean, all these things that Steve Reynolds struggles with in his mind and things that you struggle with in your mind. And what's going to quench those fiery darts? Above all is the shield of faith. Above all is the shield of faith. Listen, believe the word of God. The Bible is God's inspired truth. It's God's inspired truth. You got to understand that about the Bible. It is God's inspired truth. The Bible says that all the scriptures are given by inspiration of God. That means breathed out by God. All of it from Genesis to Revelation. It doesn't matter if the Bible talks about history or science or math or any topic, you name it. Okay, it doesn't matter. It's all inspired by God. What is inspiration? There's a definition there. Inspiration means that all the words in the Bible are the very words of God, and as such are without error. Inspiration means that all the words in the Bible are the very words of God, and as such are without error. I mean, God has revealed himself. And he has given us his word. He has breathed it out for us, you know? The Bible says in 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21, people will say, well, yeah, but, you know, man wrote the Bible. Well, that's true. God did use people to write the Bible. But here's what you got to understand. 2 Peter 1 says that they did not write their own private stuff, verse 20. They didn't write what they wanted to write, but rather the Bible says we got the word of God from holy men of God who spoke, listen, as they were moved by who? By the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who was the one divine author. Yes, he used different writers, but he was the one author. And because of that, I mean, just think about how God worked. Let me give you, it's Christmas time, right? Christmas is coming up here, okay? Isaiah 7:14. You know what that says? It says, a virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall conceive. Now, can you imagine it's 750 years before Jesus is going to come? 750 years. And one of the holy men of God that God's going to use to give us his word is a guy named Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit of God carried him along to write. Just, do you ever think about this stuff? I think about this stuff, okay? Here he is writing God's word, a virgin shall conceive. Now, I don't have any proof for it, except I'm just thinking it's probably true. I think Isaiah probably stopped right there and paused. And he might have said something like, you know, I've heard of Viagra or whatever, but I've never heard of this, okay? A virgin shall what? Conceive? A virgin is going to conceive? What? How is that possible? But guess what he did? He said, okay, God, you said it, you know, a virgin shall conceive. What happened 750 years later? A what? A virgin shall what? Shall conceive. The Bible is God's inspired truth. You got to believe it. You got to believe it because it's the word of God. It is the absolute authoritative word of God. Therefore, don't put a question mark where God puts a period. Don't put question marks. Listen, this is the enemy's number one thing that the enemy does to us. The first time we're introduced to Satan himself, what does he do? He puts a question mark where God puts a period. Genesis 3:1. What did God say in chapter 2? God told Adam and Eve very clearly, listen, I'm putting you in this garden to tend and keep it. You got all these trees here. You can partake of them, but you cannot partake of one tree. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day you partake of that tree, you're going to die. God was very clear. Guess what Satan does? Satan comes along and says what? Look at that verse, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1, the last part. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the what? What do you see there, folks? Question mark. Satan put a question mark where God put a period. Satan put a question mark where God put a period. And that's what he's going to do in your life. He's going to come and he's going to shoot those fiery darts at you. And he is going to try to put question marks where God puts periods. Folks, if you are going to stand strong over doubt, you've got to believe the word of God. You've got to believe the word of God. And then number three, as we close, experience the word of God. Now, this is my favorite part of the story, okay? This is my favorite part. I mentioned, but I just want to mention again. I'm so glad I don't have to have a perfect 10 in faith for God to do something big in my life. Because I don't have a perfect 10, okay? I don't have a perfect 10. Do you? I don't think so. You were honest. You know, I trust God a lot. But I got to tell you, there's things in the deepest part of my heart where I doubt. I struggle with doubt. And I'm so thankful that God can use a seed of a mustard seed, faith, to do some big things. This guy said, Lord, I believe, but Lord, I need you to help me with my unbelief. Jesus didn't say, okay, come back in 2 weeks after you get that down, okay? He could have, right? He could say, okay, fine, that's good. Okay, you got belief, but you don't have it all the way, so go home, you know? Take your son home. Y'all work on it. When you got it down 100%, let me know. You come back, and then I'm going to do something. No, that's not what he did. You know what he did? He cast out the demon or demons that were in this son. Jesus honored the faith that this man had. He allowed him to experience the word of God. This son was healed. The demon or demons were cast out of that son. God can take the faith you have and God can use it so that you can experience the word of God. Here's four experiences we ought to all have with the word of God. Number one, experience the regenerating power of God's word. The regenerating power of God's word. The greatest miracle in the world is the miracle of salvation. The biggest miracle that ever happened to me happened August 16th, 1968, when I was born again. I haven't had a miracle bigger than that one, okay? It is the biggest one there is, okay? And the Bible says in chapter 1 of verse 23, having been what? Born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through what? Through the word of what? God. See, we're born again through the word of God. It was when I heard that Steve Reynolds was a sinner And because he was a sinner, he deserved the penalty of hell. I heard that word, you know. But I also heard some good news. I heard that God didn't want me to go to hell. And that God made a way for me to go to heaven. And the way to go to heaven was in Jesus Christ. In that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth, lived a perfect life, never sinned one time. Died on a cross as payment for my sin. Not his sin, my sin. He was buried on the third day. He rose from the grave. And the word says, Steve Reynolds, if you will repent of your sin, turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to get you to heaven, you can be born again. You can be saved. And you know what happened that day, August 16, 1968? I experienced the power of the word of God. I was regenerated. I was born again. I was saved by the word of God. Second experience, listen, the enduring power of God's word. I love it. The word of the Lord endures for how long? Forever. Forever. The enduring power of God's word. Experience the purifying power of God's word. The purifying power. Man, one of the great things that God wants to do in your life through his word is he wants you to experience what it is to purify your life. It says in verse 1 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, therefore laying aside all your sin. God wants to purify you. And the list is there. There's malice. Are any of you scheming? You had a plan when you go back to work tomorrow, okay, if you don't have to work today, that you're going to get back at somebody. I had a lady after 8:15 service say, that was me, Pastor. I had a plan, okay? I had a plan. I don't know. I don't know if maybe it's just the 8:15 crowd. Those early morning people, they're sinful or whatever, okay? You got any malice? It's holiday time, you know. Uncle Bob and Aunt Susie are going to be coming around. You hate them or whatever, okay? Lay aside all your malice. Lay aside all your deceit. Lay aside all your hypocrisy. Lay aside all your envy. Lay aside all your evil speaking. Hey, you know what that is? When you do that, that's the power of the Word of God. You're experiencing the power of God's word working in your life. And then lastly, experience the nourishing power of God's word. Experience the word of God. Know what it is to desire the word of God. To nourish yourself with the word of God and to experience growth in your life. That's the power of God's word working in your life. Let me tell you something. I am not the same man I was last time. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling. This is bragging on the word. Please understand me. I'm not bragging on me. Okay, I'm just telling you because I prepared for this message, because I did the growth guide, because I read the chapter. You know where I got that video from? It's the first statement in the chapter in this book. I'm not smart enough to think about stuff like that, okay? You read the doubt chapter, Nelson, the author of the book, he's got that quote in the first part of the book. And then I got such an awesome team that helps me, they found out it's on a wall down in D.C. And like a crazy, I went down there in 2 degrees temperatures and got down there and recorded that thing. You better appreciate me. That's all I can tell you, okay? Now, the good news is we didn't have to fight any cracks, okay? I'm serious. The guard or whatever looked at us like he didn't say anything. He just looked at us like, what are you doing here, okay? Nobody else is here. You're the only ones here. Got it, dude. I mean, the water's frozen, you know. I make Alan Boucher, God bless his soul. He's such a blessing to our church. You know, he records all this. And I say, Alan, it takes about 20 minutes to get everything set up. And then 20 more minutes to tear it down. I say, Alan, you going over there? I'm going to wait in the car here. You let me know when we're ready, okay? So Alan's out there, whatever, saying, you know. Now tell Alan, I've been on Fox News 3 times. I've been on CNN 2 times. You got to treat me with respect, man, okay? You know, I don't know what it's like to have a limo pick me up here and take me to Fox News. Alan, you need to treat me like a big-time person or whatever, okay? We have a good time together. We have a good time together. How did I get on that? I didn't tell anybody else that story. But anyway, yeah, I'm just saying that's a great quote. I grew through it because I'd read my chapter in the book that my church gave me, okay? Thank you, church, for giving me that book, okay? That's the power of the Word of God. Nourish yourself and you grow thereby. You grow thereby. Praise Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God. Thank you so much. And Lord, help us, Lord. Oh, please, Lord, help us. Please help us to close that gap of faith and doubt and get stronger every day when it comes to faith and less in doubt. And God, help us, Lord, to be people that hear your word on Sunday, yes, but also every day of the week. God, help us to believe your word. And when Satan puts question marks where you put periods, Lord, help us to take that shield of faith and to believe your word. God, help us, Lord, to know the power of your word. God, you are a God that wants to do miracles in our lives. God, you healed this son. You cast out those demons, Lord. And we're thankful that you want to do the same thing in our lives. God, may we experience your word each and every day. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.